What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Between Two Tackles. I'm your host, Alex Spinelli, and alongside me, as always, is Ray Volo. Ray, my man, how are we feeling? The new league year has started. We are in day two of free agency. Day one was crazy.
Day two of legal tampering. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, okay? League year starts tomorrow.
Fair enough. I always like the tampering period, though.
Oh, dude, legal cheating is the best.
Yeah.
Fucking love that shit.
Day one was crazy yesterday. There was a lot of money being thrown around from a lot of different teams. Not so much the Jets until you were already in bed. But, you know, I was scouring Twitter, get some nice signings late last night, which was good to see because, you know, I was freaking out a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I was freaking out a little bit.
Yeah, dude, Jets Twitter is on pins and needles right now. I think everyone's going to take a page out of Big A-Rod, R-E-L-A-X. Just relax, people. It's early.
All right. We're going to go through every team and what they've done so far. Like we said, we are recording this at 7:51 on Tuesday. So we are almost 2 days through the legal tampering period. We are going to start with the AFC East. We are going to start with our New York Jets. Ray, like I said, yesterday was a little bit of a struggle for us during the day. We need offensive line help badly, and there was a lot of money being thrown around, especially in the guard market. The guard market is just exploding with contracts right now. And even Damian Woody tweeted yesterday, he's like, I might have to come out of retirement for some of the contracts these guys were getting.
I saw that. That was funny.
But late last night, we did get a couple signings. We'll go through them. Obviously, previous to last night, they did re-sign best player on the team, Greg Zuerlein. Love to lock up our kicker, legitimately our best player last year. And then the notables, John Simpson, guard from the Baltimore Ravens, got a two-year, $12 million deal. They brought in former first-round pick Javon Kinlaw, the interior defensive lineman from the San Francisco 49ers. And then a big signing for us was the backup quarterback in Tyrod Taylor from the New York Giants. We also were able to re-sign Chuck Clark. We brought in Isaiah Oliver from the 49ers. But what really stands out to you about day one from the Jets?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they were kind of just, they're playing it slow, reading the market, improving at the margins, you know, with some of those depth pieces. Javon Kinlaw, and then they got the defensive tackle from Arizona, whose name escapes me, but I think they need some help in that, obviously, that defensive tackle depth in particular. That room was depleted other than Quinnen Williams, but yeah, getting John Simpson I think is good. They need an entire offensive line, or three-fifths of one at least. So getting a guard who's kind of scrappy, decent run blocker, still young, and played what 19 games on the number one seed in the AFC, so can't really hate on that. I think I still would probably prefer Lakin, to be honest with you. But that said, I think it's probably a lateral move, to say the least. And then Tyrod, I really do love Tyrod signing. He's a veteran backup quarterback, game manager. When he gets in there, he's got mobility to help ease his pain with this offensive line. So I love that signing. I think I saw it was like 2 for 18, but the details obviously haven't really come out on that officially yet. And then it's funny on PFF, you know, we love our PFF, but their free agent tracker, I'm just scrolling. It says Patrick Queen, 3 years, $41 million.
I know, I saw that.
I was like, what the fuck? And I'm like, okay, it's just PFF being PFF. But yeah, it's a slow, whatever, 36 hours, maybe not even. So I'm not too worried though. I think what I really think this tells us is that I think they're kind of prioritizing the left tackle market. I don't think any true left tackles have really come off the board yet. So I feel like that's where a lot of their attention is going to be focused on right now. And I think they're probably more comfortable playing AVT at right tackle as opposed to forcing him at left.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's definitely what you saw yesterday. It was nice to get one offensive lineman locked up yesterday. I do think the Simpson signing is a slight upgrade from what Lakin was giving you last year. I mean, he was horrible last year. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah, when you have revolving doors on both sides of you, I don't think it's a little tough to be consistent.
I agree. But I do think the player is an upgrade. And like you said, he brings a nasty edge to this offensive line that I think we're kind of missing right now. And I think Tippmann's got a little bit of that. But I think if he can pull that out of some other guys on this offensive line, I think that's a good start for them. And then on the interior defensive line, was it Fati? Is that his last name?
Fatu? I don't remember.
Fatu from Arizona. He's going to be a run stuffer for us. That's another position that they've kind of had a revolving door around Quinnen Williams in the past few seasons. You bring him in, you bring Kinlaw in, who's a little bit more of a pass rusher.
He can do both, too. Yeah, I right. like it.
So I like those two signings, and I think that also gives you the ability to maybe be a little bit more aggressive come draft time looking at wide receivers and the offensive line market, which I think is important for them.
Yeah, I think that's for sure. I think it gave you flexibility going into the draft. I think, and the thing is that they can still take a defensive tackle
in a
third round pick, worst case scenario, but I think it does give them some flexibility and depth that they desperately needed on the defensive line. We know what their scheme likes to do. They rotate, right. So they need bodies.
Right. Should we talk about Breitsoff, or should we talk about them when we get to Philly?
We'll talk about him when we get to Philly.
Okay. We'll save that for the back half. Let's kind of roll through some of these other teams, obviously. We like to talk about the Jets. For the Buffalo Bills, they were able to bring back David Edwards on a two-year deal. They had to get rid of a bunch of guys. They were kind of in a shitty cap situation. They released Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious White, Mitch Morse, Deonte Hardy, Nyheim Hines. So they had a lot of money to move around. But they were able to bring in Mitch Trubisky as a backup quarterback who's back in Buffalo. They re-signed Taylor Rapp. They extended Deion Dawkins, who made that, you want to call it funny, Instagram comment that he was leaving Buffalo, and then he gets extended 2 minutes later. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, that guy sucks.
They really haven't done much else. They brought in Nicholas Morrow, linebacker, who I know you've liked in the past. He's an Ohio State guy, right?
Nick Morrow?
Yeah.
No, he's not Ohio State, but he was from the Raiders a couple years back. I thought he would have been a good match for us back in the Dizay. But yeah, he's good. They need a linebacker depth desperately. I think by the end of the playoffs, they had like one guy playing.
Yeah. So they really haven't done much, but locking up Deion Dawkins, obviously, it's been one of the best left tackles in the league for the past few years. So
I think for them in particular, I think being able to bring back Epinesa and Daquan Jones were big because they're another team very shallow on that defensive line and they're in cap hell. So I think being able to bring back two of your own who can be big parts of that rotation was massive for them because they still need more reinforcement on the defensive line for sure.
Right. Let's talk about the Miami Dolphins. They kind of got depleted yesterday, and especially like on the offensive line, Robert Hunt got a massive deal from Carolina, which was tough for them to lose. They haven't done too much either. They did bring in Aaron Brewer from the Tennessee Titans on a 3-year, $21 million deal. It was a guy that we really liked, possibly for the Jets to come in and play center. So I thought that was a good deal for them. They brought in Shaq Barrett today on a 1-year deal, and they also brought in Jordan Poyer from Buffalo on a 1-year deal. I'm trying to think of who else they got.
Jordan Brooks
was a nice signing for them. They had to release Jerome Baker. So Jordan Brooks, really good player from Seattle, who's been banged up a little bit in the past few years, but very good linebacker.
Yeah, so this is a team, I mean, I feel like their weakness last year, what we even said, was they're kind of weak up front in the trenches, and they lost everyone in the trenches. So I don't know what they're going to do to kind of get tougher. They definitely need to address the position. I don't know if they're going to save it for the draft or try bargain shop just because they're another team that's not really financially flexible right now, especially with that $50-plus million deal for Tua looming over their heads. So they need to get tougher on the interior. They need to replace most of that offensive line and then even on the defensive side. So curious to see how they address that. But they're in trouble a little bit, I feel like.
Their offensive line especially, if Connor Williams hasn't signed anywhere yet, but if they are not able to bring him back, which the way that their cap is situated, I don't know if they can. Like, their offensive line is going to really struggle next year. What happened?
No, I'm just trying to refresh Twitter to see if any news breaks while we're recording, and obviously Adam Schefter has to tweet an article that he wrote about Aaron Rodgers possibly being RFK's running mate, which is just that's only the Jets this narrative can happen with. It's the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. But keep going. Yeah, I guess. Fuck.
All right, we'll round it out with the New England Patriots. They franchise tag Kyle Duggar, which was, I think, a pretty important move for them to do. He's kind of been the captain of that defense in the back end. They were also able to bring back Hunter Henry and Kendrick Bourne. Kendrick Bourne got a fat deal I know they had a lot of money to play with, but
did he?
It's 3 years, $19 million, but it can balloon to upwards of $33 million.
Interesting. And
for a player like that, like, and they did that pretty early. I get it. You want to re-sign a guy, but for a player like that, like, I don't know if that's the best use of your resources. They were also able to bring back Mike Owenu, which I did not think they had a shot in hell, because I assumed he was getting big money offers from a lot of teams. And even though he got a 3-year, $57 million contract from them, they stink. So I don't know why he wanted to come back there. Maybe he's just comfortable. But obviously a nice re-signing for them. They were also able to bring back Josh Uche on a team-friendly deal, which I thought was a good deal for them. And then they brought in Chukwuma Okafor. He was in Pittsburgh, I believe, for a 1-year, $4 million deal. So anything stand out to you here?
I mean, I don't know if you mentioned it. Maybe I missed it.
Oh, but Antonio Gibson, too.
I also like Jacoby Brissett. 1-year, $8 million deal. I think that gives them some flexibility where if/when they draft the quarterback at 3, they don't need to start him right away. They can let him sit behind Brissett. We've seen Brissett come in and be able to win ball games in this league. So he's definitely someone who could be a bridge quarterback if needed. So I'm curious to see how that's going to affect how they attack this draft. I really do think with a team like this that's just so depleted of talent, I think trading back makes a ton of sense.
Right. Let's keep it rolling to the AFC North. We're going to start with the Baltimore Ravens here. Haven't done much in free agency. And honestly, I think the big news out of their free agency is the pieces that they've lost on the defensive side of the ball, including Patrick Queen, who we mentioned before, obviously going to the Steelers now, which is tough in division. And another player on their defense, Geno Stone, also moving in division to Cincinnati. So very interesting moves for those two guys. But obviously the big move for them was that they were able to re-sign Justin Madubuike for 4 years, $98 million. He was outstanding last year. They had to find a way to bring him back, and it's a good deal. And we've seen what these deals have looked like for these dominant interior defensive linemen with Quinnen, with Chris Jones getting extended, and obviously Christian Wilkins also getting a big deal from Las Vegas. And they were also able to bring in Derrick Henry, who we didn't mention, on a 2-year deal. I'm pretty sure it's almost a 1-year deal, basically, with the guarantees. But that's basically been their only signing so far, free agency.
Yeah, I like that Derrick Henry fit. I feel like it's been talked about for so long. They tried to trade for him at the deadline, if I remember correctly. So I think that's a good fit for them. I think, honestly, the big thing is, just like you said, re-signing Madubuike is massive. I mean, you're going to lose guys in free agency when you're a team like the Baltimore Ravens. You're kind of just a factory. And I feel like, especially with the Roquan Smith trade and then extension, it made sense that Patrick Queen was going to end up leaving. And then with Geno Stone, it's a 7th-round pick, I believe. So when you develop someone like that, and you also have Kyle Hamilton, and you paid Marcus at those safety positions, like, that was another one just destined to leave. So I don't think they have to worry too much about that, but I'm curious to see how or if they bring in any more receiver help for this offense.
Right. They were able to bring back Nelson Aguilar, but curious to see what happens on that front. Odell Beckham is also a free agent. Let's keep it rolling to the Cincinnati Bengals, who franchised T. Higgins before free agency started. They're still trying to work out a long-term deal, but they've also allowed the trade market to kind of open up for him. Very curious to see what happens on that front, if he's going to play on the franchise tag or if they're able to get a deal done. They re-signed Cody Ford. They re-signed Trevion Williams and re-signed Drew Sample. And then, like I said, they brought in Geno Stone from the Baltimore Ravens on a 2-year, $15 million deal. I thought that was a really good deal for a guy who had a breakout season last year. And then they also brought in Zach Moss on a 2-year, $8 million deal, because we know they traded away longtime running back and captain Joe Mixon to the Houston Texans for a 7th-round pick. I thought that Zach Moss deal was actually a really good one for them. Chase Brown kind of got it going a little bit for them at the end of last season, but I think that's a really good 1-2 that you have with Burrow there, obviously.
Yeah, I think it's a cheap 1-2 option. I think he'll probably be the earlier down guy, and you'll bring in what's his name for
Chase Brown.
Chase Brown, thank you, for the third down and pass protection role. But yeah, I think that's good to move off of Mixon. I think he would do a bonus, if not mistaken, as well. So it kind of made sense to trade him away.
Right. I really like that Geno Stone deal too. They play in a couple interesting schemes with three safeties on the field, and I think he fits next to Jordan Battle and Dax Hill too. So I like the fit with the three of those guys. They have a lot of good young secondary pieces. So I like them just adding to that. What do you make of this T Higgins market and what's going to happen with him?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I tweeted out that I think he ends up, I think it's, he'll end up staying. But it's just, it's tough when you have to pay Chase. We have to play Jamar Chase after this too. So I think they'll be able to make it work though. I mean, I know there's a lot of rumors flying that they're going to try to swap him with what's his name?
Justin Jefferson.
I don't think this is Madden, but that would break the internet for sure.
Imagine that. You'd have three players making anywhere from 30 to 50 million between him, Joe Burrow, and Jamar Chase. And then you just have like vet minimum guys for the rest of your roster. let's keep it rolling here with the Cleveland Browns. They made kind of a splashy trade to start free agency, trading for Jerry Jeudy. What they gave up, a fifth and a sixth for Jeudy. I thought that was a good deal for them. I think they needed another pass catcher opposite of Amari Cooper. I know you had the breakout a little bit last year from David Njoku, which gives them another weapon, but they really haven't seen the return from Elijah Moore, who they traded from the Jets. So I like bringing Jeudy. He's kind of a similar player to what Amari Cooper brings, but again, I think they just needed weapons in that offense. They were able to bring back Za'Darius Smith on a two-year, $24 million deal. They brought in Jordan Hicks on a two-year, $8 million deal. They signed Jameis Winston as a backup, which I actually do like. Sean struggled last year, and you saw what good play they got out of Joe Flacco. So maybe you're in a situation where Jameis plays this year. And then they were able to re-sign Shelby Harris on the interior. Anybody really stand out to you here?
Nothing particular. I think being able to re-sign Za'Darius Smith was big for them, too, to keep that 1-2 punch off the edge. But other than that, been a pedestrian. I mean, I like Jeudy, but like you said, I think it's a little redundant with Amari Cooper, but it definitely sure is out that wide receiver core that they needed another weapon for sure.
Right. Let's finish out the AFC North with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They really haven't done much. They've gotten rid of a lot of guys, especially on the offensive line. We mentioned Okafor, who went to New England, Mason Cole. They also released Patrick Peterson and Allen Robinson, some of those aging veterans who they weren't getting much out of. But like we said, they did bring in Patrick Queen. I think he fits really well in their scheme. They were even talking about it, I think, when he was coming out or he got drafted by Baltimore. Mike Tomlin told him, he's like, you're not a Raven. Like, you play like a Steeler. So I think that's kind of a cool story for him to come play for a coach that he really respects and the coach respects him. And obviously, he had a breakout season last year. A lot of people were talking about him being sort of a bust kind of prospect, and they brought him to play alongside Roquan Smith, and he really flourished last year. So I like that for Pittsburgh. I think they still have a lot more work to do, especially on the offensive line. I still think they need one or two more guys on the offensive line.
Yeah, and they also, you forgot to mention, just broke before we started recording, but they traded Deontay Johnson
to
Carolina for Dante Jackson, and then I think there was a pick swap in there. So they got some corner depth, too, that they needed for sure. Whether he's penciled in as a starting corner opposite of Joey Porter Jr., I guess that remains to be seen, but they definitely need some help in that cornerback room. So, and they got rid of a disgruntled wide receiver to boot.
Right. Let's move to the AFC South and a team that I think is doing an awesome job. This free agency is the Houston Texans. I think they're really maximizing their window and what they see from CJ Stroud right now. They were able to bring back Dalton Schultz on a pretty team-friendly deal, 3 years, $36 million. He was very good for them last year. They were able to bring back Desmond King, who they got some good play out of last year in the secondary. And then along the defensive line, obviously the big one just kind of came through a little while ago. Danielle Hunter, 2 years, $49 million. Him playing opposite of Will Anderson is going to be outstanding. They lost Jonathan Grenard, but I think you upgrade in that spot, obviously. They acquired Joe Mixon, like we said. They signed Danico Autry, who was a Favs favorite, our boy Nikki Favs. Loved Danico Autry. Was really hoping the Giants were going to get him, but they got him on a fairly cheap deal, 2 years, $20 million. They brought back Noah Brown, who gave them some good stuff last year. So I really like what they're doing over in Houston.
A-plus all season so far. Can't complain about it at all. I mean, this is what you do when you hit on number two overall pick at quarterback. You go fucking all in. There's no questions about he's the guy, so now you got to surround him with talent. I do love how they invested mainly in this defense too. Try to get this defense up to speed as fast as possible. I do assume that that first round pick they have is going to be some more help for Stroud as well. But bringing back some of his favorite weapons and Dalton Schultz, Noah Brown, who had a big year, and then also trade for Joe Mixon. You're surrounding him with talent too, and they really haven't really broken the bank too much on people. So A+, I really can't complain about any of it.
Right. I didn't even mention Foley Fadakasi, who former Jet great, we'll call him. But he's going to fill in for what Sheldon Rankins was giving them last year. Just a big clogger in the middle, which I like, especially when you got two guys who could really get after the quarterback and Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. Let's move to the Indianapolis Colts, another team who kind of hasn't done much outside of re-signing guys, but I think they brought back some very important pieces. Obviously, they bring back Michael Pittman on a 3-year, $70 million deal. He's a good player. They needed to bring him back. They needed to support Anthony Richardson, and I still think they need to give him one more pass catcher. If you have a trio of Pittman, Downs, and somebody else in the first or second round of this upcoming draft, I think that's a really nice start for them on the offensive side of the ball. And then on defense, they were able to bring back Kenny Moore, really good slot corner, on a 3-year, $30 million deal. I thought that was really good value for them to bring him back. He's been outstanding for the past few years. And then another deal I really like that they just got done, Raekwon Davis, 2 years, $14 million from the Miami Dolphins. They needed some more guys just on this defensive line. And this is another position that I think they need to attack come draft time.
Yeah, obviously the biggest thing with this is Pittman Jr. re-signing for that long-term extension. He'll still be able to hit the market before he's 32, which is good for him. And then I think Kenny Moore resetting the market for slot corners. It should be a deal that hopefully the Jets can get done with Michael Carter before the season starts, because I think you need to lock him in long-term. And $10 million a year is a pretty good rate for a Pro Bowl caliber slot.
Right. Let's move to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have been making a lot of noise. No shocker there. They love to spend in free agency, man. I think we were joking the other day. It's like by noon Monday, like the Jaguars have already signed like 10 guys. Like, and it feels like that almost every season. But they've done some good stuff, I think, and they have also done some kind of questionable stuff. They were able to franchise tag Josh Allen. They need to get a long-term deal done with him. He broke out last year. He's a guy who really bet on himself and didn't take that contract extension. So unfortunate for the team that he had such a good season with, I think he had 17 sacks this past season, but they need to get a deal done for him. They were able to bring back Ezra Cleveland, who they traded for in the middle of last year, 3 years, $28 million. I thought that was a really good deal for them. They re-signed Jonathan Ledbetter, who was giving them some depth on the interior. They traded for Mac Jones as a backup. I thought that was a pretty good move, honestly. I think it's a no-risk kind of type of trade. Would they give up a seventh for him or sixth?
I think it was a sixth.
I think that was a good move for them. Just hopefully you can revitalize this guy and then maybe turn him loose somewhere else. They signed Mitch Morse to a very good deal, center from Buffalo, 2 years, $10 million. They signed Gabe Davis, wide receiver from Buffalo, 3 years, $39 million. They signed Darnell Savage on a 3-year deal. They brought in Devin Duvernay, special teamer from Baltimore. They signed Ronald Darby to a 2-year deal. So they've done a lot. What stands out to you for Jacksonville?
I think, besides the Mac Jones trade, I think going out and getting Gabe Davis and then still these rumblings that once the league year opens, they're going to re-sign Calvin Ridley so they can stick with giving them that third round pick instead of the second. I think that's really interesting because, first of all, you're just trying to surround Trevor Lawrence with as much talent as possible, but it's also kind of odd that they're going to have the most cap space, I think, given out to wide receivers, and like, you don't really have a true star in there. So it's kind of I don't dislike it, but it's an interesting way to go about attacking a position, especially when you have a quarterback on a rookie deal. So it's curious. I'm curious to see if maybe teams try to emulate that.
Yeah. After they made that Gabe Davis signing, I thought there was no way in hell that they were going to be able to re-sign Calvin Ridley. But like you said, from all the reports, it seems like he's going back there, which would be great for them. Then you have a really nice 4 or 5 of Ridley, Gabe Davis, Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, Parker Washington. That's good weapons for Trevor Lawrence.
I was just going to say, too, I wonder if they think of moving on from Zay Jones.
I think he's still got 2 years left on that deal. They signed those that deal, him and Kirk were so weird, but I'm not sure how much he's got left.
I'm looking it up right now. I'm looking it up. This is last year.
Okay.
$10 million cap hit.
That'll be very interesting to try to get off of.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're interesting too. I am not a big Gabe Davis fan, but if you have him with all these other guys, I don't mind it. Also, because it just gives you something different. All Kirk, Zay Jones, Calvin Ridley, they're all a little bit smaller type of receivers. Go get a big-bodied receiver that you can really push the ball down the field with, especially towards the red zone area. So I don't hate it, and I think the deal was fair in value.
I thought I could get more, to be honest with you. And I mean, Zay Jones got some size to him too. He's another 6'2", 200-pound. I think it definitely gives them a nice like basketball team in sorts of sizes and styles. I think it is a good way to construct it. And then you gotta can't forget Evan Engram, who's a glorified wide receiver as well.
Right. Let's round out the AFC South with the Tennessee Titans. They haven't done much, but I actually think they did make a few nice moves that I really like. They brought in Tony Pollard on a 3-year, $24 million deal. I'm not in love with these running back contracts. I want to talk about the running back. Should we talk about the running backs right now? Because
I'm down.
Okay. I feel like at the beginning of free agency, we were talking about this running back market, how there were so many veterans out there that these guys were going to last. These guys are not lasting. Running backs are flying off the board. And I'm curious if that is NFL teams saying, we don't love this running back class coming out, which I do think there are good backs in this class that you can get for fifth, sixth round picks this year. So I find it very interesting, some of these teams paying out these letting running backs walk and then paying veteran running backs to come back in. I thought it was really interesting.
It's strange for sure. I think that probably the running back class maybe has partially to do with it, but I also think just the talent out there on free agency and the amount of talent there was. I don't know if it was Jeremiah who said this, but it makes a lot of sense, is that the reason they went off the board so early is that like the agents and GMs were like, or the GMs were saying to the agents, hey, I'll offer you 3 for 26. Just let you know, I sent this to 5 different running backs. So first one who takes it gets it. Because like they're a lot of that like middle tier running backs, they all went off the board quick. Yeah. Like Swift, Pollard,
Jacobs.
Yeah, but like, so I think that maybe it was just the fact that there were so many and running backs, like they kind of have to take the money, the guaranteed money they're offered. So I don't think there was a lot of negotiating on a lot of those guys' parts. Maybe the Jacobs and Saquons, but besides that, yeah. I think that mid tier, they kind of just had to take what they were getting, and they were like, screw it. We're not going to wait and negotiate. We'll just take what we get, like when we get guaranteed money offered.
Right. So Tony Pollard, 3 years, $24 million. I think it's a good deal for them. He gives you a lot of the same stuff as Tajay Spears was going to give you, but again, they just need a juice, and both these guys, I feel like, can honestly be on the field at the same time. So they could do some interesting stuff. They signed Lloyd Cushenberry to play center for them. 4 years, $50 million. We talked about this interior offensive line market just exploding. He's a really good player. They needed some upgrades on this offensive line, so I think that was a good deal. And then Chidobe Awuzie from Cincinnati I thought was a good deal. He got 3 years. I think it's somewhere around like 35-ish million. He's a good player, and this is another area that they needed to attack. Their secondary was horrible last year.
Yeah, but for them, I'm curious to see how they attack the weapons for Will Levis. I think a trade out of 7 makes a lot of sense. Or maybe they just say fuck it, and they take, if one of those receivers falls or Brock Bowers falls, they try to take them. But I think they need to get Will Levis a few more weapons.
Right. Let's move to the AFC West. We'll start with the reigning champs, the Kansas City Chiefs. Haven't done much. Obviously, the big notable one, they re-signed Chris Jones to a 5-year, $158 million deal. Just a massive deal. He's a great player, and they needed to get something done if they want to keep this window for them open. And they also franchise tag Legarius Sneed. So I don't know if you want to talk about either of those guys.
I mean, keeping Chris Jones is the biggest move they could possibly make. I think One's a low key move that I think is going to hurt them a little bit is losing my guy Willie Gay to the Saints. I'm a big Willie Gay guy. I know they chose kind of Drew Tranquil over him. I guess
he got a small. He only got like a $3 million deal.
I saw like one for five, but three. It could be either or. Yeah, but he's undervalued, I think, for sure. But I guess that's also the linebacker market as a whole.
Right. Let's move to the Denver Broncos, another team who really hasn't done much, but obviously they made big noise releasing Russell Wilson last week. This is going to be a post-June 1 cut. So they're on the hook for a lot of money, so they don't really have a lot of options. They were also a big spender last offseason, especially with that offensive line. So they don't really have much going on right now. They also released Justin Simmons, really good player on the back end. So I don't know what you want to talk about this team. You want to talk about the quarterback situation?
I mean, for me, I just think it's whether they go all in and they get rid of Courtland Sutton too and just try to get more capital for the draft and reset. But last I heard, they were saying that Courtland Sutton's not being shopped currently anymore, but I do think that's a possibility still. And I'm just curious to see how what they do, because they, like you said, like they're in cap hell now with that Russell Wilson dead money. So they can't really improve in free agency. So I feel like this is more of a transitory year where they're just going to have to try to set up for next year.
Right. Let's go to the Las Vegas Raiders. They made a big splash, obviously, bringing in Christian Wilkins from the Miami Dolphins. 4 years, $110 million. Him, you got Max Crosby there already. They're adding to this defensive line. Hopefully they can get a little bit more out of Tyree Wilson next year. And then they also brought in Gardner Minshew on a two-year, $25 million deal. He played outstanding last year for Indianapolis, and I think he was going to be the big ticket, so let's call it a backup, even though he's probably got the job at this point right now.
You cut out there for a second, but that Gardner Minshew contract, that is bridge quarterback money, in my opinion. I think it's important because it gives them flexibility where they're not forced in the draft to go up and try to make a move and like force something. I think they can kind of let the chips fall as they may, or if they're really in love with a player, then they can go attack, but they're not forced to draft a quarterback they're not fully in love with, which I think is good because, as we saw, Gardner Minshew got the Colts to the playoffs last year. So I think they're kind of hoping they can catch some of that magic and do the same. Besides that, I think obviously the Wilkins, I think that interior exterior duo with him and Max Crosby is going to be one of the best in the league. It's really going to open up that defense as a whole.
Yeah, big time. Let's round out the AFC with the Los Angeles Chargers. Haven't done much. They released Eric Kendricks, the linebacker. They brought in Gus Edwards on a two-year deal, $6.5 million. And then they also brought in Will Disley from Seattle, 3 years, $14 million. Not much going on there. Austin Eckler went to Washington, so they needed a new running back. I think they're probably going to end up drafting somebody. I'll make a bet that they draft Blake Corum at some point in this draft. So I think if you have a guy like Corum and then you have Gus Edwards as your bruiser, because they really haven't gotten much else out of like the Isaiah Spiller and those kind of other backs who were behind Austin Eckler. This team, I still think, needs some help on the offensive line, and I still think they need some help on the defensive line. Apparently they're shopping both Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. I think one of them is probably gone. And then I'm assuming also one of Mike Williams or Keenan Allen is probably gone.
Honestly, that's my takeaway is the fact that they still haven't made a decision. And I'm curious to see what that's going to be because they still got to be creative and get under this cap. So I do think Mike Williams is going to be gone. And one of those other three has to go too, I think. So I'm very curious to see how that ends up. And if I'm as a betting man right now, I think it's going to be Joey. I think Joey's going to either get traded or
I do too.
Released.
I do too.
I don't think they find a trade partner for Mike Williams, though. I think he's going to end up getting cut.
Interesting. That cap hit is just tremendous for a player who hasn't been healthy.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the NFC. We'll start the NFC East. The Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones talked about them going all in. They have yet to sign a player outside of their team. They re-signed Carl Davis Jr. and Trent Sieg. They made the big splash signing their long snapper yesterday. So that was like the big move for Dallas. So in a conference where you need to stay pace with the Eagles, with the 49ers, I'm curious what they end up doing.
Yeah, for them, I think Skip tweeted all in, comma, my ass. So yeah, he's not too happy, but this I think the Dak contract's really looming over them. I don't think, as from what I heard recently, they don't really have like leverage right now, and it may not get done till closer to the start of the season, which sucks because I think, I'm not sure if you said it, but I think it's like a $60 million hit as of now that's on the books for them. So they gotta get creative. I'm curious to see what they do with Gallup. He's someone who's another one trade candidate, cut candidate. So I don't think it's gonna be a headline grabbing offseason for the Cowboys, but they're gonna have to get smart because they have to get some O line replacements and some defensive line replacements as well.
Right. Let's talk about the New York Giants, who I thought they actually had a pretty good day. All things considered, on day one, I actually think they made out well. Obviously, you lose Saquon Barkley to the Philadelphia Eagles. That obviously stings going to a division rival, but what are you going to do? He was taking the most guaranteed money he was offered. They also lost captain on the back end, Xavier McKinney. But again, I don't think that's a huge loss for him. And he got a fat deal from Green Bay. I think he got upwards of $17 million a year. So I think they could do without those players, but I really like what they did at the end of day one. They traded for Brian Burns from Carolina for a 2 and a 5. I thought that was excellent value, especially just 2 years ago. We were talking about Brian Burns possibly going to the Rams for 2 first-round picks. He was being shopped around a little bit last year for a first-round pick. So to not really have to pay much premium assets, obviously they give away pick 39. They have another second-round pick from the Leonard Williams trade. So you bring in a player like this opposite of Kayvon Thibodeau, and you already have Dexter Lawrence in the middle. I think that was great value there. And then they did some good work on the offensive line too. A guy I really liked for the Jets, possibly Jermaine Illuminor, 2 years, $14 million, can come in, play right tackle. You can slide Evan Neal off that and kick him inside to guard. They paid John Runyon a pretty big deal, 3 years, $30 million. Again, he's not the greatest offensive lineman, but a serviceable one, a guy who plays, which I think is really important for them. And this is just a completely new-look offensive line that you can have Daniel Jones sit behind. And then they brought in Devin Singletary to end the day yesterday, which he played great last year. I was not a big Devin Singletary fan when he was in Buffalo, but he did some really good stuff in Houston last year, and I don't think the play for running backs is going to drop off too much.
Yeah, I mean, I think they made the right decision. I think the only complaint you can really have is that they didn't trade Saquon when they had the chance. But I guess that's really with the media pressure and pressure from fans, it would have been hard to spin. But from what my personally, I think this kind of gives you, I think it tells you that ownership has a little bit more confidence in this regime. I know a lot of people are speculating another down year and they'd all be out, which I think is ridiculous because, I mean, because they overachieved so much that first year, this is not a talented roster. No. They had a lot of money for that reason, and I think they used it well, especially day one. I mean, they improved both those trenches significantly. I guess time will tell how that offensive line shapes out together. I think they really eliminated a lot of question marks. I think Evan Neal is probably the biggest question mark right now, but that defensive line's elite, man. That defensive line is going to be a top 10 unit for sure. And I think Kayvon and Brian Burns being able to grow together is going to be massive. So you get rid of, you don't pay crazy money for a non-premium position and then you upgrade the premium one. So I can't complain about that.
Right. I think it just gives them flexibility too in this upcoming draft. I mean, they're sitting at 6. I think a lot of people assume that they need to take a wide receiver, whether it's Neighbors, if he's there, or Rome Odunze, which I think that should be the route. But they just give themselves a lot of flexibility with doing deals like this. So I really like what they did on day one. Let's talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, who made some big splashes in day one. The first one was that they extended Landon Dickerson, massive deal, 4 years, $84 million for an all-pro. He's just a fantastic player. So they locked him up. They obviously signed our boy Bryce Huff to a 3-year, $51 million deal. And I'm assuming that at some point, either Hassan Reddick or Josh Sweat, and I think from rumblings, it's going to be Josh Sweat that ends up getting moved, which I find very interesting because Huff, Reddick, and Nolan Smith are all undersized players. So be interesting to see what they end up doing.
I feel
doing
like both
there.
Can get moved, dude. I think there's a chance both.
Yeah,
dude.
It could. They could. They're kind of thin at edge right now. They did bring Brandon Graham back on a 1-year deal, but again, he's like 34 years old.
I didn't even know that.
They did bring in Julian Aquara on a cheap 1-year deal. what else did they get done? They obviously brought in Saquon Barkley, which I don't really love the fit in this offense, but obviously Saquon running behind a really good offensive line, like he's going to put up numbers, but in an offense where they really don't throw the ball to the running back and they run more of this power scheme, I don't really love the fit schematically, but he's gonna have a good year if he stays healthy. And then the late signing, we kind of just got a few, like an hour ago, was that they brought back Chauncey Gardner-Johnson on a three-year deal, $33 million, which they desperately needed some help on the back end.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest move, I think, to be honest with you. That back end of that defense got exposed the second half of the year. I think it'll naturally be better with Vic Fangio, but I think CJ Gardner-Johnson fits that scheme really well, too. So I think it's a big get for them. And I'm curious to see if they attack it some more, that secondary, in particular with their first-round pick. So a lot of options. It's another team. They spent so much money. They have so much flexibility now for the draft, too. So I could see them going back to their old ways and just getting a big man in the first round.
Right. Let's round out the NFC East with the Washington Commanders, who have been pretty active this free agency. Some notable guys that they release. I mean, not really too notable. Charles Leno on the offensive line and Nick Gates, they also released, but then they did bring in Tyler Biadasz from Dallas on a three-year, $30 million deal. They brought in Nick Algioletti on a three-year deal. And then they did some good stuff on the defensive side. Dan Quinn brought in one of his favorite players from Dallas, Dorrance Armstrong, on the interior, three-year, $30 million deal. They got our guy Frankie Louvu from Carolina, who has been outstanding since he left the Jets, on a three-year deal. Good for him. They also brought in Jeremy Chinn on a one-year, $5 million deal. I really like that. I think they're going to lose Cam Curl. And this is a guy that played outstanding in his rookie season, but then he's been banged up. So I like a cheap deal like that. They brought in Austin Eckler on a two-year, $11 million deal. That, talk about the most inefficient running back room in maybe NFL history with him and Brian Robinson. I love that. And then they brought in Marcus Mariota as a backup. I kind of want to talk about the Marcus Mariota thing really quick. I think this is very telling, and Vegas agrees, because Jaden Daniels has skyrocketed to the second quarterback taken in odds.
Did he really?
Yeah. And I think you bring in Mariota because he kind of has a similar play style to what Jaden Daniels does. So yeah. I think it's interesting that they made this move. I thought it was very telling.
I mean, I think it's, I don't know about the Marcus Mariota. I think Cliff Kingsbury is kind of telling a little bit too as the OC here. But yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see. I'll be stunned if they do that too. I think it's a wild move, but I guess we'll see. Imagine Drake May falls past 3-2, be crazy.
Be possible. Any of those other guys you want to talk about?
For them, I mean, I think bringing in a lot of those guys from Dallas, I think makes a lot of sense. And then one guy who signed, I think, the other day, or maybe last week, Zach Ertz, a veteran tight end for that young quarterback, I think it's going to be a smart move for them.
Right. Let's move to the NFC North. We got the Detroit Lions. They haven't been too active, but they did re-sign Graham Glasgow, which I thought was a really nice deal for them. 3 years, $20 million. They had to make a decision whether they were going to bring back him or Jonah Jackson. Jonah Jackson got paid by the Los Angeles Rams, so I think this is a really team-friendly deal for him. They also re-signed Dan Skipper like an hour ago, which is, I thought that was funny. You know, it's like they're eligible guy that they bring out on all those offensive lineman packages. So nice to bring him back. They did acquire Carlton Davis via trade with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which I think is great for them. They needed some extra help in that secondary. They brought back Emmanuel Mosley on a one-year deal. So I think getting Carlton Davis in there really boosts the secondary for them.
Yeah, I think Carlton Davis was their one really big move. I think it gives them flexibility. And you get a pro back there, you know. Someone who's won a Super Bowl. He's been a really good NFL cornerback, and he's only on a one-year deal, so it's not a crazy commitment either. So I like that move for them a lot.
Right. Let's move to the Green Bay Packers, who had two pretty big releases in terms of their organization and their leaders of the team. Devondre Campbell, linebacker. He's going to be a post-June 1 cut. He's been great for them in the middle of that defense, so he's going to be gone. And then they released Aaron Jones, obviously a long-time running back there. But they did bring in Josh Jacobs, and we thought they might be a pairing for a little while, but then Jones gets released. Jacobs got a 4-year, $48 million deal. And then I mentioned before, they also brought in Xavier McKinney, 4 years, $68 million, fat deal. But this is another position that they really needed to upgrade. They needed some help in that back end.
Yeah, a questionable move with this, I guess, their whole running back swap. I think it's paying Josh Jacobs that much money when he's got that much wear and tear on the tires. I think it's going to be questionable, especially when Jordan Love's due a fat contract soon. I think I would have kept Aaron Jones on that last year and tried to get another rookie in and pair them together. But I guess time will tell. You do get an established pro who's really had two great years. So I guess we'll see that decision. But the McKinney, they needed a safety too. So paying big bucks for someone like that, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Right. Let's go to the Minnesota Vikings. They were able to re-sign David Quesenberry. They're one of their tackles. So I like the move for them there. I'm not sure what that deal ended up turning out to be. But then I did like some of the moves that they made along the defensive line. Obviously, they lose Danielle Hunter today, but they went out and got Jonathan Grenard for 4 years, $76 million. He was a really good player. He's been banged up a little bit, but had an outstanding season last year. They also brought in Andrew Van Ginkle from Miami. He's a good rotational piece, and he had a really good season this past year. So a 2-year, $20 million deal for a guy like that, I like. They also signed another former Jet great linebacker, Blake Cashman, 3 years, $22 million. So love that for them. And then the big one, our boy Sam Darnold, which you called it, going to Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be for Sam heavy, obviously. I think with McCown as the QB coach, it's just full circle type of thing. So I love that. And I think he fits the scheme pretty well. So that's another team now. I think that's a bridge, to say the least. And I think Minnesota is going to be very active in trying to get J.J. McCarthy. So we'll see how that goes. Or even Bo Nix. I can see if they stay pat, I can see him reaching on Bo Nix at 11.
That'd be really interesting. We didn't mention this, but obviously Aaron Jones got released by Green Bay and then goes to a division rival on a 1-year deal. So Aaron Jones,
too.
Yeah.
That's pettiness. I love
it. Yeah, it was. So Aaron Jones, 1 year, $6 million for the Minnesota Vikings. Let's round it out with the Chicago Bears. They released Cody Whitehair along the offensive line. They released Eddie Jackson prior. They did acquire John Bates to kind of replace Cody Whitehair. But the big re-signing for them, obviously, was that they brought back Jalen Johnson on a 4-year, $76 million deal. This is a guy that just a couple months ago was requesting a trade from Chicago. So nice to get a deal done with him. Premium player. He's only 24 years old. Did you see him in that press conference, like talking about his sex addiction?
I heard about it. I did not see it.
Really weird. It was really weird. I'm not sure if that was like stemming to why he was so unhappy last year in Chicago, just having too much sex. What can I say? My guy fucks. but yeah, it was interesting. But again, really good player. So like getting him locked up. They were the first domino to fall in the running back market. They brought in DeAndre Swift on a 3-year, $24 million deal. I thought that was really interesting because I really do like Roschon Johnson and Khalil Herbert's a good back too. I think those two guys you get enough out of. So I'm very curious to see how this running back room ends up playing out.
I kind of liked it, dude. I think he complements the backs that are there really well. I think it's essentially a 2-year deal too, if I'm not mistaken. So I think it makes a lot of sense. And he's going to be a good running back for 13 games a year. And I think he's a really good pass catcher out of the backfield too. I think it's going to really help assume Caleb Williams as a rookie. So I like it personally.
Right. Two other deals that they got done today, or one today. Gerald Everett from the Los Angeles Chargers, 2 years, $12 million deal. And then the other day they got done Kevin Byard from Philadelphia, 2 years, $15 million deal to shore up that back end. Let's go to the NFC South. Let's start with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So they released longtime edge rusher Shaq Barrett, who we mentioned before going to Miami. He'll be a post June 1 cut. I think for them, the big thing was keeping this core together. I think they're a really interesting team because we talked about this last year that they were really at this like inflection point where they had a lot of these aging veterans who were there from the Brady Super Bowl. Was this the time to tear it down? And I think what you saw this past year, they made the playoffs. And I think they're looking around this division saying, this division sucks. Like, we can win this division for the next 2 years if we keep our core in place. So they re-signed Mike Evans, who I thought was good as gone, but great for them to re-sign Mike Evans. 2 years, $41 million. They brought back Baker Mayfield. Good for him. We love Baker. He put it on the line for himself last year and got paid. 3 years, $100 million. They franchise-tagged Antoine Winfield, and then they re-signed Lavonte David today. So they're really bringing back this core, and I really do feel like they feel like they can win this division for the next few years.
I mean, that's exactly what this says. They think the division's still a little weak and still up for grabs. And I just got to say, I love Baker getting paid. I love the fact that we're finally establishing that middle tier market for quarterbacks too, where it's not just reset the market or bust. So I think, and then going back to the last team we just talked about, I think with Sam Darnold, I think this is what he's hoping for. If he can try to start and make a name for himself in Minnesota this year and try to cash in and just get kind of revive his career. So interesting to see if that happens. I love when guys get second chances like this, especially when they were highly touted top three picks.
Right. You mentioned this mid-tier quarterback market. I know Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks were talking about that the other day. I think that's so interesting where the league is going now and what you're going to have to pay some of these quarterbacks. Like, all the guys who are in the top seven, let's say, are just going to keep reestablishing the market. It's going to be upwards of $50 million. And these middling guys, you're going to have to give them $30 million, which I don't think teams were necessarily planning for maybe 5 years ago. But
I mean, I don't know if I agree, though. I don't know. Like, didn't Daniel Jones just get 40 plus a year? I'd take.
Yeah, money, but I think they
money
paid
even him. Money even. I'm taking Baker Mayfield over Daniel Jones.
Oh, I completely agree. But I think the Giants were willing to pay him more because he was willing to give them the outs of that deal. Yeah, you know what fair. I mean?
True.
They gave him a 4-year deal, but they said we can get out of this in 2 years, and we're willing to pay you a little bit more for that.
I also do think I think when a team drafts you too, they're kind of, especially a regime that drafts you, they're a little bit more inclined to like feel the pressure and actually have to pay up at that top market value. Because I was going to say a little lesser extent, obviously, but like Dak, like that guy keeps getting paid, and I think he will keep doing it. So he was someone I feel like when his contract was up, I was curious if he was going to reset the market or not, and he ended up doing it. So.
Right. Let's go to the New Orleans Saints, a team who really does not have a lot of options, honestly, with the way that their cap is constructed. They released Marcus May, but they did extend Tyrann Mathieu on a 2-year deal. And then they signed your boy Willie Gay to a 1-year, $5 million deal in max.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that I feel like for the last 5 years, we used to talk about how we love the Saints organization. They're really good. And I feel like this is the...
It all caught up to them.
They're paying the Pied Piper now. So eventually, the salary... We say the salary cap's fake. It's not fake, but it's manipulated. You can be able to... It's easily manipulated. And yes. But eventually, it's going to come back to haunt you.
Right. Let's go to the Carolina Panthers, who made some big splashes, especially along the offensive line. We touched on Brian Burns. So they were able to collect another pick for Brian Burns. Obviously, they don't have a first-round pick this year, but now they have picks 33 and 39. So if they do want to get a little bit aggressive, they are able to get up into that first round. But obviously, the two big signings for them were on the interior offensive line. Robert Hunt, 5 years, $100 million from the Miami Dolphins, just kind of blew me away. He's a good player, but did not think these contracts were going to get this crazy. And then Damian Lewis from Seattle, 4 years, $53 million. I think this is really good for them, though. They needed to protect Bryce Young. Their offensive line really struggled, especially the interior of that offensive line. So hopefully Icky plays a little bit better on one tackle. You still have Terrell Moton. And then you just have to go out and get weapons for Bryce.
Yeah, I mean they traded for Deontay Johnson.
And they traded
too,
for Deontay Johnson.
They're starting to do that already. I think it's smart to try to build a wall in front of your 5'10" quarterback. That being said, Robert Hunt, that contract's fat. I'm curious to see in 2 years how we're talking about that. But it's smart to get gritty, strong guys up in that interior, because you can't have them getting pushed back into the short guys' face every time. But I'm curious to see what they do with those 2 seconds now, because they can still take a receiver if one falls. They can still take an offensive lineman if one falls. So
to be honest, I think they could take two guys. I think they could take two wide receivers if they wanted to.
Yeah, so I'm just very curious to see how they're going to use this, and especially because it's a new regime too. So what last year's picks and 2 years ago's picks, they don't really give a fuck anymore. So right. I'm curious to say, I think they still have to just keep it all out investing in Bryce Young, though.
Right. Let's round out the NFC South with the Atlanta Falcons, who haven't done much, but they did what they really needed to do, which was sign Kirk Cousins to a 4-year, $180 million deal. They needed the quarterback. I think a lot of people at the beginning of free agency really expected Kirk Cousins to go back to Minnesota. He is now in Atlanta, which they desperately needed. They also brought in Darnell Mooney on a 3-year, $39 million deal to complement what they have with Drake London and Kyle Pitts, and obviously they have Bijan Robinson. This is a good team, man, with Kirk Cousins. If he comes back fully healthy and ready to play off of his Achilles injury, this is a very good team.
Yeah, and I think that Darnell Mooney signing, I'm not even a big Darnell Mooney fan, but I feel like it fits what this team has and what they needed. Gives them a nice deep threat element. Yeah, this is going to be a dangerous team, and they still have that number 8 pick in the draft. So I'm curious to see if they just say fuck it and keep doubling down on weapons for Kirk. But it's a young, exciting team. They're going to have so much expectations. And just being an inner contrarian a little bit, I kind of want to already take the team total under.
Oh man, I love you for that, because this was a team that I was really high on coming into last year.
Yeah, no.
And I was taking all their team overs, and you were taking the unders. That's really funny.
It's tough because I'm a Kirk guy too, but
you are.
I feel this team's gonna be like, it's gonna be like 10.5 their team total, and I feel like I just gotta have to take the under.
I mean, if it's 10.5, I'll take the under too. I think it should be like 9.5.
Whoa.
It's one win. It's big.
It's a big win.
It's big. All right. Let's go to our last division, the NFC West. Let's start with the Arizona Cardinals. This was a team I thought would be a little bit more aggressive in free agency. They did get some guys of need, especially along the defensive line. Bilal Nichols, a 3-year, $21 million deal, and Justin Jones, a 3-year, $30 million deal. They also brought in Sean Murphy Bunting to help on the back end. They needed some corner help too. 3 years, $25.5 million. This team, I still think, needs offensive line help. I still think they need defensive line help, especially along the edges. I don't even think this Sean Murphy Bunting precludes them from taking a corner or two, even though they got some good play out of Garrett Williams and Keytrell Clark last year as rookies. But I still think they have some room to get a little bit aggressive with the last couple days of free agency.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that they're making the small moves and kind of filling out the margins of this roster. I think the interior of that defensive line in particular was very weak, and they needed to beef that up. And they still, I mean, don't forget, they still have, what, 7 top 100 picks in this draft?
Yeah.
So they're going to make a lot of noise. I'm very curious to see how they fill it out. And this is a team, year two of this regime, so they're in no rush, I don't think. So they're going to add a lot of talent. I think next year is going to be the year where they end up spending big right out of the gate.
Interesting. Let's go to the Los Angeles Rams, who have done some very interesting, but I do think some nice things this free agency. The big moves, obviously, were getting the offensive line in shape. They re-signed Kevin Dotson to a 3-year, $48 million deal. And then they brought in Jonah Jackson from the Detroit Lions on a 3-year, $51 million deal. They were able to bring back DeMarcus Robinson on a 1-year, $4 million deal. Great deal for them. He was great at the back end of last year as their wide receiver 3. And then they were able to bring in Darius Williams from the Jacksonville Jaguars on a 3-year, $22.5 million deal. Another position that they really needed to attack, that secondary.
Yeah, I think the telling thing is just bringing 2 guards and now going to kick Steve Avila to center. I think that's really interesting. I know he played a lot of center in college, but he had a really good rookie year as guard. So interesting thought process there, but they need to shore up that offensive line, and they damn near did. So good for them. And then on that defensive side of the ball, I think there's still some additions to be made. And in particular with that first round draft pick, I think this is a spot where you can see one of those premier edge rushers going.
Right. Let's go to the San Francisco 49ers. They haven't made too many big moves. Some of the big things that they've done. They brought in Leonard Floyd from the Buffalo Bills on a 2-year, $20 million deal. They also brought in Yetur Gross-Matos on a 2-year, $18 million deal.
State.
I think those are kind of high upside picks if they signings if they work out. I'm assuming they expect to lose Chase Young in free agency. So I think, you know, just keep adding to that depth of that defensive line.
Did they cut Armstead yet? I know there was talks that he was going to be cut.
I believe they did.
I feel like I haven't heard anything on it recently. We'll see.
No, I haven't either. And they also don't even have him listed here, but I feel like they did cut him the other day, didn't they? I don't know.
49ers to release. That's a rumor from a day ago. Plan to release.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Other than that, they re-signed Colton McKivitz on a one-year deal. But other than that, they really haven't done too much.
Still, I think it's good. This is another team that their scheme really relies on the defensive line depth. So I think for that Gross Matos, like you said, it's high upside. I would have loved for the Jets to make that signing. That's one of the few that I'm kind of pissed that we missed out on.
Yeah, I think he got a little bit more than I expected him to get. I know he's a young player and he does have some upside, but I mean, for the Jets, I just think they have too many holes for them to spend.
It's probably a glorified one-year deal, though.
Most likely. Let's round us out here with the Seattle Seahawks, who another team haven't done much, but they did make the big re-signing of Leonard Williams, 3 years, $64 million. Man, this guy just continues to get paid. Good for him. Like, he's not the best player in the world, but he just continues to show out and get his money.
It's funny when that contract broke, for some reason, this was one of the few that was tweeted out, like, oh, Leonard Williams, 3 years, 21 per year. It was like 21.7 per. So I was like, I thought 21.7. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, how the hell did he get so little money? I'm like, I would have loved that signing. And then that ends up being for 21 plus a year. And I'm like, okay, well, that's just classic Leonard Williams making bread like an elite player for some reason. But he's a solid interior player. I think it made a lot of sense for Seattle to bring him back.
Yeah. They re-signed Noah Fant to a 2-year, $21 million deal. But I think the big notable thing for them was them cutting Quandre Diggs and cutting Jamal Adams. So some big needs now in the safety room in that secondary.
Yeah, I thought Patrick Queen would have been a spot for them to.
I thought Geno Stone was destined, yeah. Especially after they cut all those guys.
Yeah, I'm surprised McDaniel didn't really try to make a stamp and bring his own guys in, if that's something you typically see. So curious to see how he fills it out the next few days and what kind of a team he's wanting to establish here.
Right. Talk to me through about some of your favorite fits, your favorite signings, or even your least favorite signings.
I mean, I think the Robert Hunt one, he got wildly overpaid, but logistically speaking, I think it made a lot of sense for Carolina just to invest in the interior of that offensive line with him and Damian Lewis. So I like that out of just principle. Gosh, we've went through so many fucking people. I don't know which one other ones I can bring up. I think Gabe Davis was good value for Jacksonville. I think it gave him some size and someone to stretch the field. So I like that one as well.
Yeah, I mean, I really love what Houston just did with getting Danielle Hunter. I mean,
Of course.
Like, I think that is kind of low-hanging fruit. But to get him to pair with Will Anderson, I just think was outstanding value for them. We talked about Darnell Mooney. I know I've always been a little bit higher on Darnell Mooney than you have. I think he does a lot of good stuff. Personally, I didn't think he was going to get that big of a deal. But I do think he just adds a completely different dimension to that offense that they really haven't had, or that they've been trying to use, like a Demir Byrd or a Zaccheaus, like that they've had in the past few years as their downfield stretcher. He's much better than those players. So I think him complementing what Drake London and what Kyle Pitts does is going to be really important, especially because Kirk can really throw the deep ball.
Yeah, no, that's a good call out too. I'm not the biggest fan of his per se, but I think the way he fits in this offense makes a lot of sense. And then Illuminor for the Giants. I do love that sign. I think that value signing is great. They need some tackle help desperately. So I like that one a lot. And then the last one I'll say, Lloyd Cushenberry for Tennessee. I think that offensive line with Callahan coaching, I think really helped shape it up. And they're still going to make a couple more additions, I would assume. But I think he's someone who can really be a nice pivot spot for them.
Yeah, I'll give one more to Aaron Brewer, who we talked about too, going to Miami. Obviously, this team is sort of depleted of offensive line right now, but I thought that was really good value for a player who I think we valued pretty highly, and I thought he would get closer to that $11, $12 million range, and they were able to get him for seven per. So I think that was good value there for Miami. I think he fits their scheme really well. Can really get out and run.
Yeah.
So I like that. Let's talk about some guys who haven't signed yet. The notable ones to start. Tyron Smith, the left tackle from Dallas. Calvin Ridley, who we mentioned from Jacksonville, we think is probably going back to Jacksonville. Stephon Gilmore and Kendall Fuller, two veteran corners. Marquise Hollywood-Brown from Arizona. Chase Young. Justin Simmons, Devin White, the linebacker from Tampa Bay, Jonah Williams, that offensive tackle from Cincinnati, Trent Brown, the offensive tackle from New England, Curtis Samuel, another wide receiver. Who are some guys that you're looking at for day three?
Yes, I mean, you mentioned a lot. I think Cam Curl, I don't know if you mentioned him in that little rant. I think I'm curious to see where he goes.
The whole safety market is wide open. I was going to
say, especially with the plethora of safeties out there. I think someone like Kevin Zeitler, who's just been a pro's pro, and in this guard market, they're getting a lot of everyone's getting paid. But I'm curious to see how these veteran, older guys who have been around, see what kind of contracts they get. I feel like they may be more affordable and surprise some people.
Yeah, I'm really looking at this tackle market, and I think the dominoes of Tyron Smith and then Jonah Williams to see where they end up, I think it's going to be really interesting. There's a lot of teams that are tackle needy. Especially towards the top of the draft, there's a lot of teams that are tackle needy. So be very curious to see how teams play it out with those two guys, especially a guy like Tyron Smith, who he's probably going to get a pretty big deal, but he is going to be 34 at the end of this year. So it'd be interesting to see what kind of deal he gets.
I'm curious to see what Becton gets too. What do you think Becton's going to get?
I don't know. Maybe the Jets can re-sign him for like $5 million.
You know who I think would be a good fit for him? I think the Rams.
Yeah.
Put him at right tackle for the Rams. I think that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Who else is hanging out there? Anybody else that we didn't get to?
I feel like Devin White, he didn't sign anywhere, did he?
No, Devin White hasn't signed anywhere. He's going to be an interesting one because he's a really good player. But I think he's kind of like scheme specific. Like he's not much of a, he flies around, but like he's not really a sideline to sideline linebacker. He's more of a downhill kind of player. So
he's old school, especially with the 3-4 defense that Todd Bowles loves to run.
Right. All right. Yeah, it's gonna be very interesting. Hopefully the Jets make a couple splashes on day three and we can have tears of joy.
Yeah, the fact that nothing broke during this pod, it's been an hour 15, it's pretty surprising to me.
Again, Joe Douglas is the night owl, as I was last night. I was up till like 2 o'clock in the morning, just refreshing Twitter, and three deals rolled around. So hey, maybe you gotta stay up a little later tonight and catch Joey D while he's out making moves.
Yeah, for sure.
He's on Pacific Coast time right now. All right, that's gonna wrap it up for us here on Between Two Tackles. Thank you for listening. Hopefully, enjoyed our free agency review. Stay locked in with us. We got a lot of good stuff coming your way. We got the interior defensive line position rankings coming up. Got interior offensive line, so love getting back to the trenches. We're going to have some mock drafts and some big boards coming up leading up to the draft, so stay locked in with us. As always, please rate and subscribe to the pod and follow our Twitter at @2Tackles2. You can also find us on underdogpodcast.com and stick with us as we head towards this 2024 NFL draft. Ray, my friend, appreciate you and jet up.